And now, from an undisclosed location high in the Hollywood Hills, homemade chocolate chip cookies, credit card roulette, multiple wardrobes, grandma, frozen yogurt, and much, much more. That's right, it's time once again for another episode of The Long Shot, featuring Jamie Flam.
Bingo.
Amber Kenney.
Cookies.
Eddie Pepitone.
What?
And tonight's host, Sean Conroy.
Hi there, welcome to The Long Shot, coming to you live on digital tape from Hollywood, California. This is Sean Conroy speaking, and the first thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that I had a weird thing happen to me at the gym yesterday, which is my friend Bridget showed up to the gym at the same time I was there, and she brought for me a gift, which was a bag of homemade chocolate chip cookies. And
that's nice.
It is, but at the same time I think it's a little odd.
Well, I do too. You know, my first thought, being a person who's new to the gym culture, I've never seen anyone.
What, describe the gym, culture.
Oh, if you don't think there's a gym culture, you are crazy, my friend.
I'm not saying I don't think there is one. I'm saying describe it. Just what is your idea of the gym culture?
People drive like SUVs. They all think they're badasses. They all walk around the gym like their bills are current. They're all like walking around strutting, like, look at my body, look at my attitude, look at my ass.
Which is
look
all
at my
this, all this is in huge contrast to yourself, which is...
I'm a schlub.
Yes.
Now, I got to tell you, being a schlub at a gym, there are other schlubs, and I don't like them either.
Do you guys ever make eye contact and kind of go, yeah, we're here.
You don't have like, no brotherhood between.
What gym do you go to, Eddie?
LA Fitness.
Huh.
Are
we sponsored by them?
You got to go to Schlubs R Us.
Yeah. But anyway, I want to get back to the cookie aspect of this.
They were good.
I bet they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were homemade, right?
Homemade, with love and care.
Right. Well, like all homemade things should be. But who brings cookies to a gym? I mean...
Bridget.
Unbelievable. I think... Now, here's the thing, and I don't know what you guys think about this, but you bring cookies to the gym. Aren't you sending two different messages? Like, I'm glad you're here working out, but here's some
I like you fat.
I like you fat. Exactly.
Yeah, it might be a competition thing.
Was she a workout partner of yours, or just she just showed up at the gym?
Yeah, we worked out together.
Okay.
I think it'd be you do work out together with
sometimes.
Bridget?
Yes, yes.
Well, good for you. You're doing better than I am in general then. But it would be hilarious if a personal trainer brought cookies to the person he was training, or things like that, like big sweets. Like, hey, Sean, we're going to do 30 minutes of cross training because I know you're into cross training. And I brought you a loin of pork in a cream sauce, and I also want you to have
I don't know if I would be into a loin of pork. Like, it just sounds too...
Roman?
All of a sudden, I picture Porky Pig walking around in a loincloth, as Tarzan.
Well, loin of pork, I believe, is a real cut
pork loin.
Of pork.
Yeah, I didn't
pork
think
loin.
About it. Pork loin. Yeah, they never say loin of pork.
I like to say things from a different era. You know what I mean? Like, loin of pork. Can
which,
you bring me burger of
which
ham?
Which era is that?
Case of book.
Case of book. Mm-hmm. Opener of can. You get the idea.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's unbelievable that she would bring you cookies.
But here's the thing. I understand I'm not the only one who experienced homemade chocolate chip cookies this week.
Yes. I also experienced homemade chocolate chip cookies. I was doing one of my stand-up shows. And it was the end
so
of...
So you are, in fact, a stand-up comic.
I certainly am. And those of you who are listening, please follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I think it'll be a great treat. I show Amber and Jamie some of my tweets. Sean doesn't have to see them.
I'm good.
Only when you're good do you get to see a tweet. By the way, I think that should be... You know, if you're a good tweeter and you have children, that would be a great way to punish them or not punish them. Like, look... You want to go to bed hungry? No. What would it be like? It would be like, look, do you want to see a tweet or do you not want to see a tweet?
But see, I think showing people your tweets defeats the purpose of tweeting.
Why?
Like, it's a cry for help. If not only are you putting out these thoughts into the universe and hoping that somebody is going to go, I liked your comment, but you're now going up to people personally with some little data device and going, hey, look what I tweeted to everybody.
Oh, my God.
Look at this tweet.
You know what? You bring up a great point about my need for approval. It is all-encompassing, which is why I'm a stand-up. And I was backstage doing stand-up comedy, and there were chocolate chip cookies back there. And now I have tried to cut out flour and sugar. I was a 240-pound mess. I'm 5'9". I lost 45 pounds, almost 50 pounds, by cutting out flour and sugar. And now I'm back to eating sugar and now flour. I had a 12-inch long Subway.
That was a close one.
No, I want the 12-inch long, not the 12-foot long.
Please, sir, we only have one 12-foot and we need to get rid of it before it goes bad.
Yeah, but I can't have a 12-foot long. I'm on a no-flour diet. There's enough flour in there to kill an army.
Well, no. Speaking of Subway, I mean, Subway is tough because I actually think they have the best cookies on the planet.
Oh, I've never had that.
Oh, you got to try them.
They are good. What is so good about a Subway cookie, by the way? They are good.
They're moist. They
Do they heat them up for you?
I don't know. They got the oven there.
Who the hell are you, sir?
I don't know. Anyway,
By the way, you know, the $5 foot long?
Yeah.
12 foot, only $6.
Yeah. They say their advertising campaign is 4 feet for a buck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but anyway.
That would actually be 20.
But I was backstage feet. And I had cookies. And I had two big ones. And you know what's amazing about cutting something out of your life that's quote unquote bad for you because you've deemed it bad? Mm-hmm. Is that when you go back to it, there is a horrible sense of slipping back into the rut you were in. And it's sort of like it's just by eating those two cookies, and I ate them right before I went on, my confidence, like I immediately felt them in my stomach.
Well, I was going to say, did you have physical reactions?
A little bit, since I don't eat a lot, not to brag. But since I don't know, because the whole country's addicted to sugar and sugar's addictive, and it's a fact that corporations just put in sugar into everything so we get addicted. My father used to threaten my mother when my mother would bring Coca-Cola.
Well, we don't want to get into that.
No. And Dad, if you're listening, how did you learn to download? But when my dad used to threaten my mother for bringing Coca-Cola into the house, my mother had a sweet tooth. My father was trying to do the right thing, not get us hooked on sugar when we were kids.
But see, I would say that situation is one of those things we call an improv where it's not about the thing. If your father's threatening your mother because she brought Coca-Cola into the house, there's something else going on there.
Look, I know that you're gleaning that there was tremendous unhappiness in my family, and you are right. I'm not going to deny that you're not right. But what I'm talking about now is the sugar addiction. And anyway, what I talk about is the fact that I had the two cookies and felt miserable. And if anyone knows my stand-up comedy, I go out and scream anyway. But I was very angry on stage.
So we just got to hope that Tiger Woods doesn't fuck a lady who's not his wife right before the Masters. It's going to destroy him.
No, but it is a weird thing about cutting out anything from your life that when you start it again, it's usually this horrific, like, oh my God, I'm back. But now it's not even heroin I'm doing, mm-hmm. You know? It's like a cookie. I had cookies.
Yeah, we all have an incredible capacity to feel guilt.
Yeah, I have a seemingly endless capacity to feel guilt. What? How about you? Do you?
Well, I was vegan for almost a year.
Dumb.
And when I fell off the wagon, it was the exact same thing. It was like,
were you miserable?
When I was vegan?
No, when you fell off the wagon.
Well, I went the other way. I was like mainlining cheese. It was horrible. But
I dated a girl who was vegan. I think she was vegan. I don't know what there was something wrong with her. Anyway, it was a huge pain in the ass. Let's not talk about it.
Are you talking about farts? Vegan farts are the worst.
No. I'm talking about trying to find a place to get food.
Oh, yeah. That is a pain in the ass. That is a pain in the ass.
Where do you, and she would never say, like, let's just go to this one place. And I'd be like, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wherever you want to go. Well, I want to go to a steakhouse. No, they're not going to have anything I like, you know?
I want to go to a place where they're slaughtering animals in front of me and playing sports.
I want to take the lobster out of the tank and throw him to the chef, you know?
You know, I have not eaten meat in about 3 years, but back in December, I decided one night, fuck it, I'm doing it. Ate brisket and a loin of pork. And the guilt...
there you go.
The guilt and the physical pain was definitely not worth the jump I took.
Is that right? Now, did you continue eating meat or did you then just do that one night and never went back to it?
I thought that I would continue after that, but I haven't since that night in December.
How long? Oh, in December?
Yeah.
And we're in February now. Okay. Not bad.
Not bad.
So how did the show go ultimately after you felt so bad about yourself?
Well, that was my third show of the night.
Well, that was your third show. You had two shows before that.
I had two shows before that.
Which would
the
make
first
that the third,
one,
absolutely.
Thanks, Sean.
Generally how it works.
Sean is
like
the actuary.
Out loud, yeah.
No, but it actually went well, and now I want to talk, you know, it went well, and it's interesting, you know, doing three shows in a night is interesting because three different venues. I hosted the first show. The second show, I did a show that you did called 12 Shiny Nickels where you get timed for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then this show, I could just go for like 10, 15 minutes, very loosey-goosey audience. I felt really good doing this show.
I thought I was good at 12 Shiny Nickels.
You were very good at 12 Shiny Nickels. I watched your set. I didn't think I was very good at 12 Shiny Nickels because the gimmick at 12 Shiny Nickels, there's a gimmick there where you get timed by this thing that lights up. And once it lights up, you get clapped off the stage by the audience. And that completely...
You love that movie.
I just had a great Freudian slip for the first time in my life. Usually it's like, will you fuck me in the ass? This was, will you complete me? But that device...
It's very distracting when you're on stage, correct?
I think so.
I can't help... I mean, that's actually what I did that night. I said to myself, I am going to... just not look at the timer because I find myself looking at the timer the entire time, not to use time and timer in the same sentence, but it's so distracting because I keep looking at it to see if I have any time left and that takes away from being connected in the moment.
Totally. And I consider myself at this point in my life, I consider myself a good comedian. So I'm I know there's a lot of detractors out there, Jamie. And I consider myself a good comedian, but I had a bad set because I was so concerned with the time. And there was a white trash couple passing a bottle of wine back and forth with a straw in it, which really pissed
me
off.
What made them white trash?
The straw.
The straw. And he had long Elvis sideburns. And she had bleach blonde hair. And if you're listening, no. But they made me yell at them, and whenever I have to yell at somebody in the audience, I always then feel like I've set a bad tone for the show. You know, my anger, what I guess I'm talking about is how my anger is related to me eating the cookies, because now that I'm tracing it back now, this is like good this is a good psychological, archaeological dig.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
Which is a lot of degrees you have to get before you're capable of doing
that. You cannot
that.
Do that online.
Yeah.
But I think that I ate the cookies because I was so miserable coming from 12 Shiny Nickels. I felt like I had a bad set.
Yeah.
And so, again, I feel like cookies, sugar, sweets, they're there to comfort us. And that's not a bad thing unless you're a fat guy like me who's been told, Eddie, you're pre-diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have sugar. You know, you have to lose weight. Now, I'm not pre-diabetic anymore because I lost...
Well, isn't everybody always pre-diabetic?
That's a good point.
Unless they're diabetic.
Unless they're diabetic. Or post-diabetic.
You know what? I wish I could have thrown that at my doctor in the moment. Like, if he would have told me you're pre-diabetic, and then if I would have had that line, that may have stopped him in his tracks. Because he's a foreigner, and I could have maybe made him feel uncomfortable.
That sounded xenophobic.
I do not own a xenophobe.
Wait, I want to talk about this a little bit more. So you feel like you're pre-diabetic. What does that mean? It means you're overweight?
Well, I had very high cholesterol. Mm-hmm. Cholesterol. I had very high cholesterol and high blood pressure. And whatever it was, he did these blood tests. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but he said I'm pre-diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You okay? I don't like casting a pall over this podcast.
I'm just
thinking about how pre-diabetic I might be right now.
Or pre-AIDS. Why not? Yeah. Or pre-anything.
No, you guys, you're not pre-cancer. You're not
pre-pregnant.
I like that you could tell by looking at us.
Yeah. No, no. Even though some people genetically have that, have diabetes. But anyway, I don't want to be part of an America, an obese America, because all you do, you turn on the TV these days, and all you do is you just see all these things about there's an obesity epidemic, there's an obesity epidemic, and I want to be one of these guys looking at the TV going, ha ha, that's not me.
Well, let's
looking at the TV probably isn't helping.
Why? Because I'm sitting there stationary?
There's studies. The more hours of TV you watch a day, the more weight you have.
You sound like not an expert, Amber. but wait, I want to talk about this obesity thing. Like, Amber, you were saying that you're uncomfortable with some of that stuff right now yourself, yes?
Yes, I'm looking to lose some weight to be, you know, very original in Los Angeles as a performer and a woman. But yes, I feel like with all of
those
pressures.
Are you saying that a maverick woman in this town would be going around saying, I am going to put on 100 pounds if I can by the end of the month and I'm going to make it as a character woman?
I had a friend who, an acting teacher, told him you need to gain 60 pounds and then you'll work. I was like,
teacher.
I was so jealous.
That's an example.
But that guy owned a hamburger stand.
Right.
Like every other person in Los Angeles. But so what made you think about this?
Well, I was doing a show this weekend. I did a sketch show. And I was working, pulling my costumes for the costume change.
Oh, those sketch shows. There's so many costume changes you got to go through in those things.
I don't like changing in front of people.
That's why when I had a sketch group, we all wore black turtlenecks and black tights.
Yes,
and
you were
Capizio dance shoes.
Oh my god.
And sometimes a beret would just indicate, you know, that was it.
Just different hats.
Yeah. So what
But I was trying on clothes for my different costumes and they just were not fitting the way they should. Mm. So I had very little options to work with. Like it's like, okay, I guess these pants and that dress. Because they're getting tighter. It's happening.
Well, that is the horrible feeling about gaining weight. For me, I've been going through the same thing lately where I lost 50 pounds about. I think I said 40. I'm going to correct it to 50. I want to believe 50 because when you're losing weight, by the way, you guys ever do this where the scales have different numbers and you're like, oh, I'm going to go with that number. Like, especially these digital.
I once told my doctor his scale was definitely broken.
Oh, I told my doctor. Did you do that? Yes. I did the same thing.
I had gained like 20 pounds over the course of 5 years. And I was like, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Your scale is broken.
I did the same thing.
Well, I won't go to the doctor until I've lost weight because I'm embarrassed for that moment where I'm on the scale and they tell me that I'm obese.
And they just go, ooh, geez.
So I'm going to have that physical once I lose that weight. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, my God.
What a goal. Yeah.
But I just wanted to say that not fitting into your clothes is just the worst freaking feeling.
Well, and I think it's an uncomfortable feeling anyway, but to know that you're putting on those clothes to get on stage in front of people, like there's no way that I'm hiding in the... Like people will be looking at me in this outfit, so it has to be presentable
but
on some level.
Can't you just buy more clothes?
I don't have the money. And also, I don't want to buy clothes at this size.
Mm-hmm.
So... And I don't want to buy clothes that are too small because that will just make me feel worse. So I'm just not going to buy clothes.
You know, Jackie Gleason had 3 wardrobes.
Did he? Are you serious?
Yeah, he would fluctuate by 50 to 75 pounds. So he had a small, medium, and large.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because I consider myself, and I consider myself to be like Jackie Gleason, like comedically. And he's an idol. He's an idol of mine.
You constantly threaten to beat your girlfriend the way that Jackie Gleason would just threaten to beat.
Did Jackie Gleason threaten to beat his wife?
Remember, to the moon,
Oh,
Alice.
To the moon. Yeah. No, I never threaten my girlfriend.
I get him confused with the fictional character he played on TV.
I psychologically threaten my girlfriend.
How do you do that?
But anyway.
I thought you said you psychologically, archaeologically threatened your girlfriend.
That is amazing because now I know what that is like, you know, to have a couple of different sizes. You know, it was just big. Now I'm like trying to lose weight. I didn't know Gleason had that as well.
I have 2 wardrobes myself. And one of them I haven't fit into in about 8 years. But I'm not getting rid of those clothes.
Now, you see, Jamie, I don't think you really have two wardrobes. I think you have a denial problem. If you haven't fit into these things in 8 years, pal, you're just keeping clothes around. To say you have two wardrobes...
I just don't want to give in to the fact that I'm going to be this way forever. I have confidence.
By the way, it's hilarious. Folks, you can't see Jamie, but he looks really skinny to me. Does he look skinny to you?
Yes. And well, he's also dressed as a woman.
That's true. That's true.
Now, that may be your wardrobe problem.
That leads into my confidence issues. Wearing women's clothes gives me confidence.
All right. Well, I think this would be a good time to take a little break. So we'll be back with more right after this.
Cookies?
Does this sound like you at the cookie store?
Which one should I get?
Chocolate chip cookies come in so many different shapes and sizes that sometimes it's difficult to choose. Big chocolate chip cookies, little chocolate chip cookies. Nowadays, there's even medium-sized chocolate chip cookies. It's so confusing and overwhelming. But confused and overwhelmed, I am certainly no more. Yes, no. Thanks to the brilliant cookie engineers at the Cookie Store, there is finally a chocolate chip cookie size solution. Introducing the Big Little Medium, a small chocolate chip cookie baked into a medium chocolate chip cookie baked into a large chocolate chip cookie. That's right, three cookie sizes baked into one cookie. Your ums will become yums. Now you can sound like this at the cookie store.
I guess I'll have that one.
So maybe yes, no, maybe yes, the Big Little Medium, available at the cookie store, now in five different sizes.
And we're back. You are listening to The Long Shot. Now, we just got a little bit of an insight into Amber feeling like she doesn't have enough money to buy a new wardrobe every time she gains or loses a couple of pounds. And hopefully more of that will be happening.
And she ate a lot of cheese.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Which I hear a lot from vegans, by the way.
That like, they just, because they need protein. It's very hard to get protein.
Anybody hear of a legume?
Sure.
I saw the movie, The Blue Legume. all right. So we wanted to talk about a situation involving. What if I just turned into like an old Catskills comic for the rest of the time?
I think that would be perfect.
Just smoking a cigar and throwing in crappy one-liners every time I could. Now,
and
Jamie,
it's the best thing ever for your career?
Well, something's got to give at some point.
That's right.
Jamie, you were talking about how you've had some difficulty with money recently, and it's led to some unusual circumstances for you.
I guess they'd be unusual. I moved in with my grandma this past Monday.
Wait a minute. First of all, I'm sorry to hear that, but you know, when you say the word grandma, mm-hmm. it just makes me feel sad. Can't you say grandmother?
Why does the word grandma make you feel sad?
Well, I moved in with my grandma. It just sounds so terribly lonely. Like I just picture because the word grandma.
There's a certain amount of infantilization there. Like Jamie's a grown man, but when he says, I moved in with my grandma, it makes him sound like a little kid.
Yes. If he would say, I moved in with my grandmother. Uh-huh. I'd be like,
but
okay.
I think that's the whole point. See, is that it is sad.
Well, and I just
sorry.
Grandmother to me sounds like scary, like evil stepmother or something. Grandma sounds like she'd be baking all the time.
Right. Well,
like it sounds nice.
Yeah, my cousins always called their grandma grandmother, and I thought it was so.
It's
formal.
Cold. Yeah.
No. No, you're right about that. Okay, now I'm going to backtrack a little. I just think for the purposes of a podcast, you should say...
You should use the technical term.
The technical term
Nana?
Is... No, you see, now that at least... You see, I never was anybody who did that. I've heard people call their grandmothers Nana Nuna.
My mother, before she had her first grandchild, before the kid was even born, told everybody... that she was not going to allow those kids to call her grandma, that they were going to call her Mimi. She said, they're going to call me Mimi. Now, I'm not sure what her strategy was. I think one thing is there was a possibility that that would be the first word the kid would be able to pronounce because Mimi is a very easy word for kids to pronounce.
Boy, but also she is calculating.
Oh, my God, you have no idea. She's like the Lex Luthor of grandmothers. But she, I think also she just didn't want to be called grandma by anybody, you know? And then I said, if that's true, then my father had to be had to be called Pee-Pee. So we all started calling him Pee-Pee before. And he was, and he finally, he was like, and he was good natured about it, but finally he was like, no, they're not going to call me. But they do. The kids all call him Pip. And I don't think they even know that that's where that came from.
Yeah, there's something weird when it comes to grandparents, but at least you're not using Nana, Nunu, and that kind of crap.
My niece and nephew, they call their grandmother that isn't my mother, Gaga.
Yeah. You see, that's when it
is
gets...
Is their grandmother Lady Gaga?
Yes.
anybody I'll be the... here all week, try the veal.
Anybody see the movie The Blue Lagoon?
Oh, man.
About a vegan who's out of breath eating legumes. Go ahead, James.
So going ahead, so yeah, it's been...
All right, take it easy. You don't have to take a ton.
All right, cool. I'm going to take a breather real quick. But no, it's been an interesting week. I think the highlight so far was this past Saturday. I got a phone call from my sister, and she's like, Grandma's been trying desperately to get a hold of you. It's like, what's going on? She's like, you cannot go back to her house tonight. And apparently, she had a hot date, and things were getting a little bit frisky, and she, it was just very important that I not be there.
Wait a minute. I think we need some fact checking here.
Sure.
Your grandmother is
85 years old. Her boyfriend Harold. Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't be saying names. Her boyfriend Sergio.
Kumar. Yes. Her boyfriend Kumar.
I think also about 85, and having a more active sex life than myself.
That's wonderful for them.
No, well, God bless them.
Can't you and your grandmother devise a system where you tie a sock on the door, she ties, you know,
a
package of diffident on
also, them. Also, I mean, I understand that she's your grandmother, but how hard is it to get a hold of anybody
apparently,
this point? Like, you got tweeting, you got text messaging,
Another funny story you bring up. The other night, I did not sleep there a couple nights later, and I get a call at 9 a.m. She's like, I've been worried sick about you. I was going to call the police. I was going to call your parents. I just didn't know where you were. I was like, well, I think you made the right choice in calling my cell phone.
So she didn't call your cell phone the night before?
No.
Oh, why'd she call your sister?
She couldn't find my number.
What is going on in your family?
Look, this is what Jamie's alluding to right now is a great, great cultural divide, which is the old really don't know how to deal with the new technologies. So they can't even imagine that Jamie has a phone on him because they're imagining he's got a big rotary phone on him, like in Dial M for Murder, that type of thing.
See, I think that's extreme because people still watch television. They see people on the street with their cell phones, right? If she's going out and picking up 85-year-old dudes, there's some way that they're getting in touch.
How do we
right?
know she picked them up? Maybe was this on the... this is probably online. Or he
picked her up. Online dating?
Actually, that's another funny story is that she met
Keep
him.
The funny stories coming, mm-hmm. please.
She met him, I think, within a couple weeks of his wife passing away. And she kind of like swooped in.
So she's a rebound.
At Temple, you know, at the synagogue.
Mm-hmm. Boy, at Temple. If I could have a nickel for every time I've heard that phrase before swooping in and grabbing somebody.
You'd have five.
By the way,
cents.
Amber, could you throw another log on the fireplace? Thank you. Go ahead,
sure.
Jen. Oh, that's nice.
God, it's crackling in here right now.
So they met at Temple.
They met at Temple, at the synagogue, and been hot and heavy for a couple of years, but still, that Saturday night is their night to
at least it wasn't like you didn't know about this, and then all of a sudden you're like, I can't come home because grandma's a slut.
No, no. It was fair warning, and let's not say grandma and slut.
She's not sleeping around. She's just...
No,
she's in a long-term relationship.
She's not doing, like, looking for Mr. Gray Bar or Good Bar, whatever it is, right? This is a long relationship.
Well, now I'm feeling guilty, like I'm talking about my grandma, but then I'm thinking, she's probably not going to be listening.
If she doesn't know how to call you on your cell phone, she's definitely not downloading your podcast.
Well, it would be amazing if she had a whole podcast list.
If she was like, no, I don't listen to yours. I listen to Opie and Anthony in the morning. Well, I want to talk about something too, because the fact that your grandmother was having sex makes me want to
have sex.
Now, by the way, did we you moved in because of money problems?
Yeah, I have no money, and you know, relationships, working through some stuff. Now I'm feeling guilty about throwing that in the mix.
Yeah, I don't think we want to explore that right now, right?
No, let's not explore that.
Because that is a source where definitely that could be downloaded easily and somebody could be like,
well, she's a contemporary of yours. Yes. A person. Now,
she's
a contemporary.
She's one of your peers.
She's a peer, and a peer will know how to download. It's mm-hmm. the old. It's the elderly.
That's why you should be dating much older women.
I think that's
so
the lesson.
So they can hear the podcast.
Most importantly, was your grandma baking for you at all?
Baking?
Or cooking?
And is she using protection?
definitely using protection. Definitely. I'm not going to let you know how I know that.
Oh, what? That seems like interesting.
I'm just making that up. But
well, I think after a certain age, you don't have to use protection, right? There's just some kind of decay in the...
Decay?
No, I mean, and I don't mean to use a word that's biologically correct.
Look, we're all human, you know?
We're all human.
We're all headed there at some point. Let's be honest.
Just ask my doctor, Dr. Crisanti, who said I was pre-diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
Now he says, he compares me to a stare. He compares me to Astaire. When I lost 50 pounds, he was so happy. And he was like, you remind me of Fred Astaire.
Oh, I thought he was...
meant like a step.
Yeah.
No. Whenever I say Astaire, I mean the great Fred Astaire.
Good to know.
But go ahead, Sean, you were about to say
yes,
something.
I was.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I love going in different directions. I just wanted to talk about how I let somebody into my life and... what a mistake it turned out to be.
It's not Jamie's grandmother, is it?
I tried, but she was seeing somebody. No, I opened up to somebody in a way that I never do. I opened up to one of my neighbors about my financial situation because, you know, I'm in a little bit of a different position from you guys in that I partially own this place myself. I have allowed myself to get into massive, overwhelming amounts of credit card debt. And
you and the rest of the country.
Yeah.
So
no,
don't feel alone.
No, I
if you're ever at night.
I don't, but I do. You know, that's the weird thing.
That is very
true. It's like being in a room full of mimes. I don't think that's exactly the right
analogy. Sean, don't go Shutter Island on our ass.
By the way, my sketch troupe used to do a lot of mime work.
Turtlenecks.
Anyway, I told him I was like I'm having a little, and he said, "Look, I know everything there is to know about credit systems. You know, I know ways to get you money to pay off bills, and we just work this program for like a year, and you know, so just get me your credit report, get me your bank statements, look at this stuff, and you know,
is your neighbor?
Yeah, and as you know, I like to play things very close to the vest.
I sure do.
I don't open up to a lot of people, mm-hmm. and that's no offense to you guys, but." You don't know fucking shit about me.
But I tried to find out many years.
I know.
It's
always you're
always
very inquisitive, and I find a way to blow it off. But so anyway, I got my credit report online and my bank statements, and I went over and met with him, and he basically looked at him and he goes, "Oh, you're fucked. You are fucked beyond fucked. There's nothing you can do for 7 years. You're fucked. Even if you can pay everything off right now, your credit is destroyed."
Did he really say that?
Yes. And I was like, "Oh, okay. Thanks for the help." So anyway, that was, that was another lesson learned of like, do not. This is a lesson I've learned since I was a very small child. Don't open up to people.
Well, did he know what he was talking about?
Yeah, I can tell that he knows what he's talking about. Because he could tell me, like, your score is this, you missed this payment here, you're done. Your history. So...
Wait a minute, though. Mm-hmm. No, first of all, I thought this was a woman you let into your life.
Why did you think that?
That was what I had in my head. Did anyone else think this was a woman?
I think
the natural
because
tendency.
It came from sex. From
But I was just backtracking that Jamie was only involved with the sex story because he was having money issues and moving in with his grandmother. And I was going to my own. See, that was a little deception on my part,
I'll tell you, I gotta give
the story a little sizzle because you know if I want to say like, oh, I sat down and told my neighbor about my bank statements, you would have heard just clicks of people turning off the podcast,
just clicking off.
But I just you know I've worked in television. I know how to do an act break. You know,
well,
get people to tune in.
I feel like here this is what I feel like now. I feel like a Sopranos fan who was waiting for a great ending. And instead, it turns out that your credit is fucked. Now, why Which I
know, that's a terrible ending, and a lot of people would say The Sopranos ended in a terrible way. So there's still a lot of similarity.
Disappointing though. I thought it was going to be about a woman that you let into your life, and I had this whole vision that it was going to be this juicy, emotional, psychological story, and I was also thinking, wow, Sean doesn't open up, but he's waited for the podcast to finally open up his soul. And now it's about a neighbor that saw your credit card statement. But by the way, your neighbor sounds like an asshole.
He's not. I think he really was trying to.
Right now.
I think he was really trying to help, but just.
Let me ask you this about your neighbor.
Yeah.
Can he download?
Is he a contemporary?
He's a peer.
Is he a peer?
Yeah.
All right. We shouldn't talk about him that way.
Yeah. No, he's not an asshole. I think he legitimately was trying to help, but I didn't need the hardcore. You're fucked, you know? I mean, I think that's like a doctor going, all right, let's take a look at your gallbladder, and then going, holy shit, you are fucked.
But here's the thing.
It's a terrible bedside manner for a financial consultant.
But here's the thing that confuses me too, is that you said that this was the thing, oh, I shouldn't have done it. Like you prefaced this by saying, oh my God, I shouldn't have done this. I opened up to this guy.
Right, right.
How is this such a big deal? Your neighbor just said your credit is fucked. I have neighbors yelling that to me in the street. I mean, why is that such a big deal?
Well, I think everybody exists in their own reality. So to me...
yeah, I do think so, Kafka.
To me, that's a big deal. To you, you have much bigger things than, Eddie, your credit is fucked, right? Like, there's more going on there.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you're saying that you're able to just ignore that. To me, I can't ignore that.
It's been a way of life for me.
Here's the other thing.
It's been a way of life for me.
Here's the other thing is that I am a financial ostrich. In other words, I will not open a bill, open a bank statement. I just won't do it, knowing that it's not going to be like, guess what?
A million.
You win.
Well, you're not unique in that respect either. I mean, and I think
I feel like by me telling this story, all you've done is minimize my problems and tell me that I'm not unique. I'm not unique. Okay, I understand that.
I'm not trying to minimize your problems. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to give you comfort that you, along with the rest of America, except the people doing very well. You are just, I mean, this is what this country's going through, a huge, deep, they're calling it a recession. It's really a depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, this country's in horrific shape, and you're one of the people in that shape.
Mm-hmm. Well, then let me ask you this. If that's the case, what, I just bottomed out. I think I just bottomed out. I was going to say, what can we do to deal? Like, what do you do to deal with this? Like, I don't know what to do to take my mind. Jamie, what do you do to take your mind off the fact that you're having?
What I do, I probably go to my local frozen yogurt place and
what?
Pile up. Maybe Yogurtland, Cantaloupe, another great option.
You eat?
Are you saying? Yeah, I think I eat to deal with. You know, the pain.
I think
of,
I do that too. Yeah. I think a lot of people will try to eat away.
Specifically frozen yogurt, though, you're saying.
I actually have an issue with frozen yogurt. I eat a lot of frozen yogurt. And it's actually one of the few things I can really talk at length about confidently. Like, I can go on about how the
fact... Well, you really pick your spots.
I do pick my spots.
You've done a lot of corporates in yogurt, right?
Plenty. Plenty. I can wax poetic. I noticed, you know, as soon as the Yogurtland went in across the street from my old place, the Red Mango out of business.
Is that another yogurt place?
It is. And also the Cantaloupe, as soon as the Yogurtland
went in. Is that another yogurt place? You're talking Greek to me. The Cantaloupe, I just feel like you're having a problem with your gums.
If you tried this Cantaloupe, you'd understand.
Good. But it's gone
it's
now?
It's fine. It's all right. It's still there, but they immediately went from... having, you know, them serving you the frozen yogurt, so now they have the self-serve, which is kind of the new rage on the whole yogurt
There's a
scene.
Place literally right next door to my gym that's one of those self-serve yogurt places.
Do you go?
It is fucking packed all the time. Yeah. I've never been there. I'm like, if I had money, I would open a self-serve yogurt franchise because, and also what's funny is that the gym I go to has full-length plate glass windows in front.
Oh, how?
So all these people with their frozen yogurt come and just stand. It's like we're animals in the zoo. Like fighting each other while these people eat their huge things of frozen yogurt, you know?
That's really funny. The Yogurtland is right next to Bally's. And exactly, people are on their Their Stairmaster is going crazy.
I think Jamie, what you hit on is perfectly correct in the sense that people are trying to drown their financial anxiety. And Sean, you were about to say, I think, what do we do to escape financial anxiety?
Right, like I just lie awake at night counting in my head.
I take 3 ibuprofen in the evening, whether or not
just,
I have a headache.
Isn't that just aspirin? So you have like a very, very minor drug habit.
Yes. Well, yeah, now that's a funny thing because, you know, I used to smoke a lot of pot. I don't care about saying that on the air, but...
How recently?
This morning. That I care about saying. But no, I've battled addictions of many kinds, and now I take 3 ibuprofen at night, and that, to me, it kind of puts me to sleep in a weird way. But I wake up about 6 a.m. thinking about money. Today, I couldn't get back to sleep. Mm-hmm. I was just... thinking about money, and I was like you, like, what do you do?
Right.
What do you do?
I feel like I would need to buy something in order to
make
not
yourself feel
think
better
about money, and I just can't do that right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really hard. Do you do anything to
Amber,
alleviate the...
Amber, what's your answer?
To alleviate the stress of being broke?
She has
broke?
A job.
I have a job, but I still don't have any
Jesus,
money.
What are you doing here?
But... I like to go to restaurants and pretend like I have money and then just like hope it goes through. It's a really, really
oh,
good
I've done
way
that a million times. Credit card roulette.
Yeah.
Where you go, oh, try this one. Try this one. This
by the way, that would be a great game show on television, I think, where 3 people who are not in good shape financially, they're vetted by the show. And they have to come up and try to purchase something live on the air and see if credit card roulette. That would be very good, wouldn't it?
By the way, that's how I first got into credit card debt was I was like 22 and I went out with some of my friends from college and we went on a river rafting trip and then we went to a steakhouse afterwards. And my roommate from college, who was a funny guy, but I didn't like this aspect, but I felt like I had to play along. He was like, let's all put our credit cards down on the thing. And then the waitress decides who has to pay. She doesn't know who any of us are. So we were at a steakhouse. We had like a $700 dinner and my credit card got picked and I had to pay. And since
then.
Did
you have to pay it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I couldn't. It was on my credit card. So I've had debt on my credit cards for that long.
So a game of chance threw you.
At Black Angus.
Into a financial hole from which I've never extracted. I've gotten like, you know when you see a guy climbing out of a well and he gets to the top and there's a little branch and he's trying to pull himself up and then the branch falls out of the...
You've gotten to the branch?
Yeah, I've gotten to the branch, but I've never gotten out of the well.
Right.
And also, the well is dry, coincidentally, so it's very uncomfortable when you fall back in.
Right.
It's just not good.
No, I get the metaphor.
Mm-hmm. None of the friends offered to pay you back? For that.
Also, what were you guys ordering?
Have you ever been to a steakhouse? It's
really expensive. How long ago was this?
This was, well, I said it was 22, so 20 years ago.
And how many guys were there?
4.
Jesus, you guys really did. Now,
Sundays.
I know in you guys, was it a lot of booze? It was a lot of beer.
We had like 2 a piece.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, it was... It was a good time,
until the
check got put
away. No, steakhouses are.
That said, I do advocate that as a fun way to figure out who gets to pick up the check. You know, of just like take somebody's credit card.
Oof.
You know.
You know, that's an interesting game for a poor person to play.
Because if you win, you feel amazing.
Right. That's right.
You've lost nothing, and you're like, yes, I had 2 beers.
Have you ever played that game again?
No.
No.
Not since then.
Is it worth the guilt of watching your close friend plummet to the depths of their own personal economic hell?
I didn't have to watch that.
You were the guy.
Mm-hmm. That was me.
Oh yeah.
God. For one meal.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
Mm-hmm. Now, that said, there's been probably way stations that I could have done better at. I could have, you know.
Is that what you're calling them? I love your euphemisms
life. I've made choices in life that weren't necessarily financially secure ones, you know? I've had a very oppositional relationship with money my entire
adult
life.
Same here. By the way, that is an interesting thing. Money, I love to spend it. I do not love to save it. I hear of people who just save money. Like, they're so smart with their money. You know, they just like, oh, I will put this amount aside and I will have a fund for little. I've never had children, so that might be one thing. But I have always.
I think that changes your sense of responsibility, certainly.
Having children?
I think so.
I don't want children, though. I don't want them in the worst way. You know what I mean?
You might be in luck, my friend. all right. Well, I think this might be a good time to take a little bit of a break and fight it out a little bit for me insulting Eddie about ever being able to have children. And we'll be back with more after this.
No call from the governor, I'm sorry to say, Charlie. Looks like you're finally going to be executed.
I guess this is it then, huh, Warden?
Actually, no. You are allowed to have a last meal. Here's the menu.
Pretty limited selection here.
Charlie, this is a prison kitchen. We've never gotten any stars from the Michelin Guide.
Well, it's just, I've been thinking a lot lately about becoming a vegan, you know? Sugars and meats and processed flour aren't good for you.
Seems a little late for that kind of change, doesn't it?
Well, hey, you don't even have a kids section.
Kids section?
Yeah, like hot dogs and grilled cheese and french fries and...
Why would we have a kids section on the menu for a federal penitentiary on death row, no less?
Why would I throw away a comfortable life as a bus driver by murdering an entire troop of Boy Scouts? Sometimes things happen that don't make sense.
Please, just decide.
Plus, I love the little mazes and games they have. I mean, tic-tac-toe, I love that.
All right, listen, we are on a schedule here, Charlie, so...
I'm sorry, Warden. Am I inconveniencing you as I try to figure out what I'm going to eat for the very last time?
No, you're just being dramatic.
Oh, yes, why be dramatic about death? Oh, man, all right, let's see. What does this even mean, meat, fish, other?
That seems fairly straightforward.
But what meat?
I would assume it's a beef or perhaps a pork.
What do you usually have? I wonder who that could be.
Hello?
Who's at the other end of the phone? The governor? Or is it a wrong number? A prank call? A computer polling system for a marketing company? To find out, tune in next time for another thrilling episode of Charlie's Last Meal.
Okay, we're back for our final segment here on The Long Shot, and this is actually a segment that we like to call The Parting Shot. Eddie, 30 seconds, your parting shot, go.
Well, my parting shot is, I think I am going to go back to eating sugar and flour and just live life to the fullest, and I'm going to try to spend money as quickly as I can, and I'm going to try not to be as angry on stage as I normally am.
Obviously, you have to have the money to spend it as quickly as you can, correct?
Yes, that's true. I'm just talking here.
That feels like a part of your plan that got left out.
Yes. Damn it. Damn it.
Jamie, your parting shot.
My parting shot, I mean, I think taking from you, I'm certainly not going to be playing any credit card roulette at steakhouses. I'm going to avoid steakhouses. I'm certainly not going to refer, when I'm telling people my life situation, to my grandma. As grandma, I'm going to start using grandmother. Take your advice. Thanks for everything, guys.
Great. Amber?
I feel like maybe doing this podcast was a mistake and I should be spending more time with my friends.
That's definitely true.
Who have money and are good with money and are healthy, not pre-diabetic. But maybe I'll come back next week and learn some more lessons.
But can't you treat it as a cautionary tale?
I feel that way.
Part of the reason we're doing this. It's
a service to
benefit
you.
My
no,
life.
You represent youth.
Yes.
Jamie represents youth. We are here to show you guys that if you live like crazy people, you're not going to have a life.
Which is interesting that you just said, basically, I plan to live henceforth as a crazy person.
See, this is what I mean. This is what I want Amber and the rest of this great country or great world, because podcasts are international, to hear that you cannot be insane.
This is an educational program.
What's your parting shot?
I have two. The first is that people might think it's odd, and I commented on this before, that Eddie goes around showing his tweets on his phone to people instead of just letting the tweet speak for itself. But what a lot of people don't realize is that as early as the mid-90s, Eddie would walk around with a piece of paper just writing out some random thing and showing it like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? To everybody he saw on the street.
Did I do that?
Okay, you ruined my part of the show. And then the last thing I would say is there was never a movie called The Blue Lagoon. But I think if there had been, it would have been good.
Perfect way
to end.
God, that's a great parting shot. You're showing us a lot about parting shots.
If I knew I could get punny with it, I would have gotten punny with it.
Well, now you know.
All right. Well, I had fun. You know, I'm sorry that Amber's a little distressed hearing about diabetes and debt. But, you know, that's the way it goes.
Next time, cancer and death.
Cancer and death. But it's going to be funny. That's the thing.
Well, those things are always funny.
That's true. That's true. You just have to let a couple of years pass before you...
Life in close-up is a tragedy, but it's a comedy in the long shot.
For past and future episodes and more information on your hosts, you can find us online at www.thelongshotpodcast.com.